Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet land. This is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose, as the announcer said. And trust you had a good weekend, certainly in the United States, and an interesting one, a challenging one. As we watched the demonstrations unfold, there were, I guess, by and large, I didn't see many reports of any violence. And so it is a constitutional right to assemble. And so I think things have, I don't want to say things have settled down, but the dust has settled. I think everybody has their feet under them and more what their objectives are in protesting. And of course, with it being an election year, things have, you know, heated up and very intense. Anyway, I trust that you are well in it all and realize that we are citizens of the world. And when I heard from my travel agent yesterday in Kenya that they have been have another 30 days of lockdown, which we heard from Phil and Lisa last Friday in Canada, but a lockdown or a social distancing or a sheltering in place in Canada is one thing, in Kenya it's another thing. And so I know it's a tremendous hardship on the people, and they're not able to do business, and food is scarce, and if food is there, it's expensive, and people aren't working. So lots of suffering. So, you know, when I post on Facebook, I am mindful that just about half of my friend list is not from the United States. So, you know, sometimes when I post things that are of local importance, people get a little confused. At the same time, there are demonstrations throughout the world in protest of police brutality and racism, and which is a good thing. And so at any rate, today we're going to have a great show. Madam Dynamic, Dr. Sheila Hunt, who I can honestly say is a really, really good friend, yet we haven't talked in a while. And that's not an indication or a reflection on our friendship. And so I'm so grateful that she has consented to be on the show. She is waiting in the wings, and we're going to talk about her work today, and once you hear her, once I unleash you on her, you will understand why I would refer to her as Madam Dynamic, because she is a dynamic individual that is touching a lot of lives around the world, and I think her purpose story will certainly help you, and as she tells of how we met and how she was came face to face with purpose and how it has changed her life. So that'll be in just a moment or two when we bring her on. You can go to the page for this show and read her bio and get a little better understanding of who she is. But in the next hour, you're going to get a whole lot better understanding, and you are going to be the better for it. Last night, I started my online faith and creativity classes. This was born out of a monthly, for lack of a better term, support group that I started in June of 2013 to bring creative people together to help us fight our fears, our insecurities, our trepidation where creativity is concerned. I was surprised the first month I had it when people came. I was surprised every month after that for the next 6.5 years. But last fall, it just became obvious that attendance was way down, and so I was ready to kill it. And so we had a final meeting, and people who hadn't been there in a while came and said, "You can't end this. This is too important." So we just decided that was October, to not meet for the rest of the year and kind of reassess it in the new year. Well, anyway, my co-facilitator, Steve, we met in January, and we said, let's do a summer class around creativity, and this will be every Sunday as part of like our church's almost like their Sunday school program. And I did this last summer with the Gold Mine Principals, and it went very well. So we agreed to do it. We started to lay out the curriculum and what we were going to do. And lo and behold, Mr. Pandemic came into the world. So it was not possible to meet face-to-face, so we took it online. And last night we had seven participate. Wednesday night, we're offering the class twice a week. It's the same class on either night, and we have 15 people. So we haven't had 22 people in our support group sessions very often, so I'm very excited how it went last night. It was sort of a dress rehearsal for the bigger class on Wednesday night, and we are using my book, Unlocking the Power of Your Creativity. And as I said on Facebook Live earlier, we were going through the first eight chapters, and people were commenting on what spoke to them and what stood out to them, and they got it. They got all the points that I wanted them to capture, but it was very gratifying to hear some of the other things I would not have expected from what people were saying in regards to their creativity and what they were learning through what they read. I had them watch one of the videos on the Purpose Quest International app, and I trust you have downloaded that app and are utilizing the resources there. And I got a huge infusion. I talked to my developer today, and we're having a huge infusion. About 15 of my video preach messages will be on the app very soon, within the next day or two. And he's just doing some artwork for some files that we want to put the various videos in. So please, Purpose Quest International, go to the iTunes, Apple Store, to Amazon Internet, to Google Play. Look for Purpose Quest International. Download the free mobile app, and we can stay connected. Well, if you are a regular to Wake Up to Purpose, and even if you're not, we're going to go ahead and do what we always do, and that is read a psalm at the beginning of the show before we bring on our guest for the day. And for about 7 weeks, I was reading Psalm 91, and we were affirming our faith and trust in God for health and preservation. And then I said that we may need it more for economics than we needed it for health, and we needed it badly for health. So and now with civil unrest and racism raising its ugly head, we need it even more. But we have moved on, and I'm not reading every psalm, but we've moved on from 91. Today I want to read Psalm 101 that I read on Facebook Live earlier today. But this is a psalm of David, and it says, "I will sing of your love and justice. To you, Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord." You know, it says, verse 2, a bold statement, "I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me?" Now, I think the Hebrew concept of blameless is, if I do something wrong, I'm going to make it right. That nobody can blame me for wrongs or ills that I have not addressed. So it doesn't, but what a bold affirmation. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. And I've been saying over these last weeks, we can't teach ethics. If we cannot teach ethics, then stop teaching your children to say please and thank you and what you say is right or wrong because, well, you know, they have to have a conversion experience. No, you have a certain expectation of behavior, and if you don't find it in them, you express your displeasure, even when they are grown. So ethics can be taught. And but anyway, that's not why you listened in today. We are going to be talking to Dr. Sheila, and she did something that I don't often do, and that is to invite callers into the show. And the number is 515-605-9729, 515-605-9729. You can just go to the page for this show on a Blog Talk Radio, and it will have that number. But anyway, and then just be patient with us. Hold on, and we will work you in. But in the meantime, let me bring on my friend, Dr. Sheila Hunt. It's spinning. There we go. Dr. Sheila, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Well, thank you, Dr. Purpose. That is you. Thanks for having me on today. It's always a privilege
and a pleasure
just getting to chat with you and catch up.
Yes, and that's what we're going to do. You and I are going to catch up, and we're going to invite all of the listeners to just listen in. And as I said earlier, I can't believe that we haven't talked more, but it is an absolutely no indication of a lack of respect and esteem and affection for one another. So it is just so good to hear your voice. And tell our listeners a little bit, just give a thumbnail sketch, and then we'll go back and paint with a little broader strokes. Tell our listeners about Dr. Sheila Hunt.
Well, I think I'm going to start with just kind of how we met a little bit, because that will help tell a little bit about us and about me. And I'm going to take you back to the year 2000, and I'm a public school principal, and I marry a Marine Corps officer, Jim, and we meet you, Dr. John, and you introduce us to the DISC personality profile, and in 1 hour, you completely changed our lives forever. I just have to tell you. Mm-hmm. So you and the DISC results, you just provided some information that kind of helped me understand why people drive me crazy and why I drive people crazy, because I can do that. So it's just amazing. And you were so impactful that you helped me become a certified consultant with DISC. And then you also inspired me and pushed me and really helped me get my doctoral degree in organizational leadership and Christian ministry. And I actually used the DISC to do that. My study was around the DISC tool and working with the police department in communication and change. So Dr. Dynamic yourself, you have changed my life. I just have to tell you.
Well, it's an honor. And let's go back. We were, I was out to, of course, our friend Pastor Ted Miller invited me out to Temecula, California, which is north of San Diego. And he invited me to do personality profiling and assessments with anybody in the congregation. And I could still see the room where we were. And people just signed up to come in, and you and Jim came in. But I want to make sure the listeners hear this, because you had a great job, and you loved what you were doing. But so again, tell us what you were doing, and tell us what was so impactful about that meeting that caused you to launch out and into new waters.
So I was a public school principal, and it was interesting because I have to tell you about Dr. John. I tell him sometimes that he creates chaos just so he can order it. Well, he and that's true, and you know it. He helped us just, first of all, if you've ever read his book, Unlocking the Power of Your Purpose, I strongly recommend it if you have or you have not read it, because it changed my life as well. So as a principal, we came in and we were just kind of talking about purpose. But Dr. John, when you do that, he had me identify kind of my scripture that was my scripture, and it's Philippians 1:6, and it's being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, I started crying. And so, you know, Dr. John, he starts narrowing it down. Why are you crying? What's making you cry about this verse? So it came down to being confident, because I just have to tell you, I'm crazy about Jesus. And it's just interesting that after we took the DISC, and Dr. John gave me permission through the DISC, and also just helped me realize that God makes each one of us uniquely. And I know I'm a very strong person. And when he scored my DISC, he said, "Wow, I've never scored anyone this high in a D." And so I have to laugh because a D is a dominant driver, and I am that. I think you call me a dynamo or dynamic, and I am that, so I am kind of a force. But the cool thing is, even though I'm a hot mess, I'm not a surprise to God. He still loves me. So you helped me understand, as a hot mess that I am and a direct force, that I have a purpose and God has a plan for me.
And so now, so what did you, how did you respond? I mean, you know, I go home and you go back to work, but how did that unfold? How did you make the decision to leave what most people, it would be a coveted position that, you know, you stay in until you retire? Just talk to us about your purpose journey from the point of this awareness of who you are and that God has something for you to do.
Okay, so the next 4 years, I remain a principal, and you told me something in that hour meeting, and we continued to converse and talk, and
right.
I became, I was so just enthralled with the DISC and how impactful it was for me. I went back as a principal. We did it in our district. We did it with my entire staff of 88. We included parents in it. We did parenting classes with it, and I just realized how powerful it was. So I also realized that we had a calling into worldwide ministry. And so my husband and I ended up getting ordained and called into the ministry. And then you, Dr. John, also did another life-altering activity for Jim and myself. You invited us to go to Zimbabwe with you and do an international business conference for Tom and Bonnie. So that was another major thing. And I'll never forget the hour-long meeting that we had to begin with. You said, with this personality type, the DI, the high DI, you are called to be worldwide, Sheila. You are not called to be in one small town. You are called to serve the world. And I will never forget that. And I don't want to cry now, but honestly, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and because I went to Zimbabwe so many times, some of the details of the trip, you know, the trips I've made blur. But talk about the impact that going to Zimbabwe, which at that time was just in shambles, and it's not much better now. But talk about the impact that trip had on your life, your work, your ministry, what God spoke to you there.
So as we went there, we were able to really minister. We, you know, before you go on an international mission trip or a mission trip anywhere, you're praying that you could just go and be a blessing to them. And I will tell you, when we went, they were a blessing to us. You see the hunger. You hear the people in the church, you know, before the church service ever starts, you hear them a mile or two away because they're praying in the Holy Spirit, in tongues, over the service, 2 hours before the service starts. You see people who are hungry for the Lord. You see idols and idol worship and things on houses and fences. And it's just, it's amazing. So when you know you can go over there and pray for people and help them get free, get set free from whether it's demons or whatever it is in their lives, oppression, and yet you also see a resilience because of the love of the Lord. You know, you see leaders that are still hungry and that you can help. And so Jim and I ministered that whole week in single sessions, in the services, and just were able to meet people and realize that we serve the same God throughout the world. He's the same in Zimbabwe as he is in Pittsburgh, as he is in Arkansas and California. So that really ministered to us and helped show us that. I think we even did some DISC things with you and with people while we were there as well. But personality and God and freedom is kind of, you know, we still do DISC a lot and I still do purpose, but setting people free, setting the captive free now is another area that is part of our purpose. It's part of my purpose is get free, stay free, help others live free. So I think that also helped start that international ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So were you still in California when you went to Zimbabwe?
We were, yes.
Okay. But you weren't there much longer. Talk about you made a transcontinental transition and talk to our listeners about that.
We did. Be careful when you meet Dr. John, because he, your world changes when you really help discover who you are and who God made you to be. I mean, there's like four questions he continually asks. It's like he helps you discover who am I, why am I here, why am I, where am I from, and what is my destiny. And we ended up moving from California to Arkansas, and we have family here, but we ended up coming back and getting ordained and really starting our ministry portion of our lives. We still had jobs, and I was consulting with DISC and helping corporations do that, and my husband was a financial planner. So we moved back to Arkansas and really, really started in the ministry, but also working with other people. I mean, I ended up working with Walmart Corporate, and Jim ended up becoming a financial planner, but yet still being in the ministry and still doing our purpose. So I just want to encourage everybody out there, you can still have a job, but you can also still work in your purpose as well.
Yeah, and that was Russellville, Arkansas. I came to see you in Russellville, Arkansas. How many listeners have been to Russellville? Raise your hand. Not many.
And we're back.
But
here
I came
now.
To. Yeah. Yes, and so you're back there, but then from Arkansas, you made another transition.
We did. We went from Arkansas, and we moved back to California. We've been to Charlotte, North Carolina, and now we're back here again. So you just never know where God's going to take you and lead you.
Yeah, yeah. But North Carolina, was that where you pursued your doctorate?
It was. I worked on it while we were there. My husband got transferred out there, and he's still working for the same corporation, but now we're both back in Arkansas. Yes, I finished it up in 2018, and let me just share with you, too, that was always on my bucket list, and Dr. John never let me forget that because it was a desire of my heart. So he even helped me. He was on my committee for a bit and just really helped me push through that. So, yes, it always helps to have a mentor and an accountability partner. And that was
Yeah, well, again, it's always an honor. Now, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Sheila Hunt. Sheila and her husband Jim are co-pastors of God Seekers International and are committed to helping each person experience success in everyday life. And that is not some byline. This is what they are passionate about. But talk to us about the program, why you picked that program, what were the objectives, and then we really want to drill down into what you learned through the project for your doctoral, your dissertation, and so just talk to us about your educational experience.
So I got my master's degree in leadership, educational leadership, and I was a principal at the time and just about to become an assistant superintendent, and we ended up moving back here. So I always wanted to, I'm a teacher. I mean, my purpose statement is, with confidence, I lead, teach, and equip. So to get my doctoral degree in organizational leadership and then Christian ministry was just the natural path for me. I just felt like where God was having me go. I happened to go to Grand Canyon University because it was a Christian university in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And so it took me, I thought it was going to be 3 years, took me five. So you just do that. But, you know, I loved getting, you know, really digging into the Bible and understanding the precepts and just really understanding more about the Lord. And so I finished that in December of 2018. And education is a sacrifice. You and I both know that. What do you have? You have two doctoral degrees. So it is amazing. But I will tell you, never think, I'm going to be 60 next month. Never think you're too old or too young. I mean, age doesn't matter. You are here for a reason, and you still have a destiny, and you still have purpose. So understand that no matter what you do. So it is sometimes a journey, but education, you know, it mattered in my book, because that's what I wanted to do. So anyway, that's why I chose that path, and that's what I ended up doing, and God willing, and with lots of help and people around me, you know, it was a goal and a desire of my heart that I was able to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk to us about the DISC again. Why so important to you? You know, because sometimes in higher education, the DISC is frowned upon. You know, it's not the Myers-Briggs. It's not expensive enough. You know, it's not esoteric enough. It's too plain. It's too simple. But talk to us about your ongoing use of that and how it played a part in your educational program and what you learned.
Sure will. So I chose, they tell you at the beginning of your program, you better choose a topic that you love and that you're passionate about, and that you're not trying to change the world with your dissertation, but you do want to kick the can down the road and you want to further, you know, academia. So I chose this because, frankly, of you, because it was such an awesome tool. And if you have never taken the DISC, I urge you to do that. Get a hold of Dr. Don or me and let us work through that with you, because it is super inexpensive. And it's 24 questions and it takes you 10 minutes. So it's the fastest thing. Myers-Briggs, I'm also credentialed in that, but it's like an hour. It takes a long time. And
yeah,
I mean, you get information, but the DISC is just so much easier, and you still get great information. So I worked with a police department there who had a new captain, a new chief. They were going through a huge change. And so communication and change is huge. And then when you do the DISC, you realize there's two types of people that love change and two types of people who change things just to change things because they change as one's an event, one's a process. So I wanted to really drill down to why people like or don't like change, how they respond to it. And then with the law officers, being a law enforcement right now, and even back in, 3 years ago, is a little crazy. So I wanted to honor them as well and come up with research that showed that the DISC can really make a difference in communication and change and how we communicate. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, Dr. John, that the results were phenomenal. Every law enforcement officer that I talked with in that study group said that, yes, it made a difference in communication, and, yes, it made a positive difference with understanding change. So it also made a difference on their calls. When a couple of the officers had gone out, one of the stories I can tell you was when they got there, the gentleman had a knife and was about to stab his wife. And by the time they got through talking with him and listening to him, because he was an S personality, he absolutely laid the knife down. There was nothing, no problem. But it made a difference not only in their calls, but also in their home life. So that was so phenomenal to me that's the other reason I love this, because it really helps with communication and it's an easy tool. And now they've actually added three more. When I wanted to put the teams with it, but it wasn't validated at the time, but now it is.
Right.
But that helps you understand too, what place on the team. Are you a theorist, a strategist? Are you an executor, an analyst? Are you a manager? And it really gives you permission. Maybe you're not that creative person, but yet you love to be the right hand, the right hand person to get it, to bring it to fruition. So I didn't end up doing that. I just used the DISC. And you're right, in academia, it was interesting. At the end, I had it all done, and they're like, you can't code the DISC because it's a psychometric assessment. But we ended up doing that because there was precedence for that. So, yes, it was wonderful, and so glad I'm finished.
Yeah. It's interesting. My wife was telling me about some people in Cincinnati that are using the DISC in police work and in understanding various styles and how those styles impact encounters on the street and tense situations. And so, I think you and I have both come to the conclusion, any information we can give anyone about who they are and how their style interacts with other styles and how those other styles interact with them is so valuable and worth it. And I tell people I am a profile junkie. I've got two big 3-inch folders of all the reports and strengths finders and various DISC profiles, Myers-Briggs, intrinsic motivation, just many profiles to give me more information to help me understand who I am and who I'm not. And so you did an EDD in organizational leadership and Christian ministry. That's an interesting combination. Talk to us about the program in general. And in the organizational leadership programs I've taught in, or the one I've taught in, is just such a great personal development journey. Talk to us about what that program was like and what you learned about yourself.
Well, we started out with, of course, they interwove the leadership courses with the Christian ministry courses. And it was interesting because I met several pastors who were also doctors like you are. and who helped develop some of those classes. So leadership has always been within me. I have that D personality that you and I know that there's a couple personality types, the D and the I, who are I call natural born leaders. They're born to lead. They will walk in a room and they will lead. They will take over, you know, and the other two personalities absolutely can lead. It's just maybe not as natural to them, and especially when you start looking at conflict. However, I chose this route because, first of all, God called me to it. So I knew that leadership was in me, and leaders, you know, leadership development is so important in every organization, whether it's education, whether it's Walmart, or I've worked for Home Depot, I've been a principal, education, you know, I'm a professor now. So if there's ever a problem in the world, it's a leadership problem at some level. We can even say that right now with what's going on in the news is, you know, there's leadership concerns. And you know who the natural leaders are who don't mind confrontation. I mean, Trump is one of those naturals. He doesn't mind, you know, public opinion doesn't really matter and confrontation doesn't, you know, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, thrives on it.
Other mayors and governors do. So that, again, was another reason I chose the leadership and the organizational leadership path, because you see that, and even when I worked for Walmart Home Office for several years, I started in the realty division, and you could tell that some leaders continue to hire themselves, their personality type, and they just fill their department with that, but yet it doesn't give a well-rounded group. So I wanted to go down that path in organizational leadership and also Christian ministry, because I knew we were called to ministry. I knew I was called to ministry. So when you have a doctoral degree in that, I think it lends to credibility as well. And I mean, when you, my dissertation was 450 pages. So you have a book on Christian ministry and this, so in leadership. So anyway, that was my journey and that was the why.
Very good. And how did God Seekers International come about? Tell us about that decision and tell us about the organization itself.
Okay. Never were they thought we would be in charge of a 501c3. However, when we got back to Arkansas and we got ordained, we worked with two other friends who were also called to lead, and we created God Seekers International. And since then, they have left the organization, and it's just Jim and myself and then two other board members. So God Seekers International just came from Tommy's book, the God Seekers and God Chasers, God Catchers. So we chose that because that's truly what we wanted to be. We wanted to always seek God in everything and continually, you know, seek him. And he's like, ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7:7 is my husband's scripture. So it just worked out. And so we use God Seekers to minister internationally, to help or organizations and people who need that. I have been to Africa several times since you invited us, Dr. John, and we've ministered in London and Africa and kind of all over Paris and Guatemala and some of Mexico. And so we use God Seekers for that. We help, we give, you know, with schools and children and scholarships and then also just to minister. So that's what God Seekers is all about. And just international, we call it, our company is Explosive Transformation, because our heart's desire is to transform the world with God. And if you've ever heard of the Sentinel Group, George Otis Jr., there's transformation that's happened all over the world that they have captured. So he's someone that we really follow and kind of partner with too, just for transformation. It's been amazing what God has done. And I believe we're getting transformed right now. I believe America and Israel is going through transformation as well.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, when you've gone back to Africa or Guatemala or the other places, even the United States. I mean, what do you teach on? What generally emerges? Is it leadership? Are you doing the profile, combination of things, talking about purpose? What do you see the needs are, and what's your emphasis when you go out?
Yes, yes, and yes. you know I'm a profile junkie too, Dr. John, just like you taught me well. So yes, we are going to Ghana. Actually, we were supposed to go last November, and then we moved it up, and so then the pandemic hit, so we got put on hold for March, April. So we're going back now. It looks like it's going to be in October, but we are going to Ghana, and it's so interesting how God calls you when you work with leaders. We are actually going to meet with the country leadership there. We're going to meet with the church leadership, and then we're going to be doing open crusades each night. So mm-hmm. we also will be going to orphanages and helping with children and working with their teachers, because that educator in me, I love that. So, yes, we're mm-hmm. going to be talking about purpose, but we're also going to be talking about international and national purpose as well with those leaders. And then we went with Ted and Tammy Miller to San Jose, and we did the same thing. We actually did crusades there each night. And it's amazing when you go to different places in the world, the different unseen things you meet, the different spirits and things. So we actually worked a lot with deliverance and spiritual freedom when we were down in San Jose, Costa Rica. And it was amazing just to watch people get free and get set free and watch legs grow out and miracles, mm-hmm. signs and wonders happen. And I think it just, you know, they said how, I think when we went to Zimbabwe, one of the discussions we had was how much, you know, you pray differently a little bit because the intensity is so different.
Mm-hmm.
The unseen world is so much more intense. So therefore the godly unseen world has to be as well. You know, you have to, mm-hmm. the speaking in tongues and those things. So yes, when we've gone to Zimbabwe and Guatemala, we went and we graduated nurses to be able to go back up into the mountains and be able to help people, you know, physically and health-wise. So that mm-hmm. was another important piece, too. But also we did a lot of spiritual freedom there as well. So mm-hmm. I think, yes, leadership, we went to Rwanda and got to visit with, you know, and lead pastors and leaders there from churches that were outside of Kilgali and mm-hmm. work with them. So it is, I think it always is purpose. It always is leadership development. And it's just people, you know, that we are all one people. We are all God's creation. It doesn't matter what color our skin, what our financial situation is, and God just loves every one of us, and we all have a purpose. I think that's just the message that if I could give anything to everyone, that's what it would be.
Yeah. Let's go way back to when you left California. I mean, again, you were a principal. Was that a tough decision? Did you wrestle with that decision? Did you resist it? Again, this is a, you know, positions people are lining up around the block to have a chance to fulfill. What was that transition like? How difficult was for you?
Well, I believe when you really know your purpose and you know what God's calling you to, you really helped me with that. So in 2004, Jim had just retired from the Marine Corps, and he was somewhat in transition. And then I had just gotten offered an assistant superintendent position, so it was even more than a principal. I was resigning my principal position to go be an assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction at another district in Southern California. So I actually mm-hmm. had to resign from principal and tell them no as well to move back mm-hmm. to Arkansas to really go into full-time ministry and consulting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a huge decision, but I also believe that when you're called to that international stage and you know that I think there's a part and a piece of you that I'm going to either follow God and live by faith and trust God in that purpose, or I'm going to stay here and be somewhat, I'm not going to use the word miserable, but know God has called me to different things. And I mean, I'm still an educator, and But to leave being a principal and even not taking the assistant superintendent job, it was a huge decision. But again, I think it's that J-O-B. Was it my calling and my purpose? Probably not. And that's what helped us make that decision to go back, you know, and move and do what God asked us to do. And that was also Jim's jumping off point to leave the military and to become a financial planner for Faith Financial, a Christian financial firm. So that's what he did.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier your purpose statement of with confidence, I think, to lead, teach, and equip. You know, somebody may be listening and say, how did you get that clear? I mean, how did you know that when you got there, you had landed your plane on the right aircraft carrier? I mean, how can you be so sure? And how, I guess I'm asking you, what tips can you give people to so that they can be sure?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. You can text me or email me at drsheilahunt.com, because I will send you, Dr. John, or how I got there. You really led Jim and me down a path too. We took your Unlocking the Power of Your Purpose book, and I went through and I took out every question front to back. I took out every question you asked in that book, and I wrote them down. And so it took me a month or two to get through all of those questions. But that helped me really, really, you know, laser beam focused down. And then you had some really great things, too. You had a list of calling cards in your book, and it helped us decide, you know, which category. Were we realistic? Were we conventional? You know, what were we? Were we investigative or enterprising? So you also told us then when we answered those questions and we looked at the calling cards and we were able to check off in your book some of those questions, you said, what's your scripture? So Jim ended up with Matthew 7:7. I ended up with Philippians 1:6. And I tell you, you made me cry the first time I met you because you came down to with confidence. And then it wasn't what we wanted to be. You made us write our goals and objectives out, you know, with not I will be a woman of God or I want to do this. But you made us like come really hard and clear with what we were going to do. And I've got them here in front of me because I knew you were going to ask me this. So, like, personal values, I know. I serve the Lord God Almighty. Not I'm going to try to, but I serve the Lord of God Almighty. So then you made us say, you know, put a scripture with that. And my second one was, I have immeasurable faith in God and live a spirit-filled Christ-like life. So I would urge you to just to do some of the things that Dr. John, you know, tells you. And that's how I came about with this. And I will tell you, I've morphed it a little bit. In fact, Dr. John, tell them yours, because you started out with I order chaos. But you added creativity to that a year or two ago. Tell me what yours is again.
Well, I create order out of chaos and wherever God chooses to send me. And so I used to say I make or I bring order out of chaos, but I changed the bring to create, and it radically changed my life. And I was talking about the creativity classes we had last night. Those are an outgrowth of what I saw in 2005, that I was ambivalent about my creativity. I was shying away from it. I would poo-poo it or say I really wasn't that creative. And the Lord said, yes, you are. And I saw all the things that I had done and even things that I wanted to do. They were all expressions of creativity. And that changed my life. That changed me from writing one book a year to five books a year because I stopped damming it up. I stopped blocking it and saying, this is who I am, and I create order out of chaos. And I used to put the emphasis on the chaos or the order, but now I put the emphasis on create. And God brings me all the chaos I can say grace over, and I create the order. The emphasis is not on the order. The emphasis is on the create, and it really radically changed my life. So I'm intrigued with the confidence word in your purpose statement, because somebody would say, well, that doesn't seem like a purpose, you know, and I don't want to cut you off from your values. We can come back to that, but just the confidence piece is very intriguing. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, that's what made me cry in my scripture, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So when you first met with me, that's what I cried over, was confident. And I think that I had to put that in my purpose statement because that is something that God has given me. He has given me incredible, and I think with the word confidence, I could even add right now, you're bringing this out of me, and here we're having a purpose discussion on the radio, but I could even add with confidence and authority, I lead, teach, and empower. I think I'm going to add that because authority is something God has dealt with me on for the last 20 years, really, that so many Christians believe lies. Like you just brought that up. They believe the lie of the enemy that you aren't creative when you absolutely are. So many people believe the lie that, you know, you'll never get married, you'll never have children, you won't write a book, you know, whatever you want, whatever you want to say.
You're always going
to
be poor.
And it's a lie from the pit of hell. And, you know, who are you to go and try to cast that demon out? Or who are you to go talk to people about purpose? Or so the Lord showed us way back in 2000, and talked to me before I met Jim, that you are called to help set people free. And, you know, it isn't just Sheila. You could put your, whoever's listening, put your name in front of that. We were all called to set the captives free. But that just happens to be something the Lord has taken me down. And so right now I'm working on classes for that so that people can go on and do self-freedom. But with confidence, we all have authority. And I think that that is one thing the Lord just showed me. Greater works will you do than what I did, Sheila. And, you know, we think about that. And, like, he gave me a mantle to raise the dead. John, what do you do with that? You're like, what?
You're
putting a mantle on me to raise the dead. So I have to just say that God has given me so much confidence and authority to walk in it and to not question it. So I'm going to add authority on mine, too. So with confidence and authority, I lead, teach, and empower. And that's through preaching. It's through discipleship. It's through so many ways.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because it's not a super spiritual experience. It is a spiritual experience, but you were very logical as you walked through that. And now your decision to add that word in, very consistent, makes perfect sense. And I think sometimes people have over-spiritualized the process. I'm waiting for God to speak to me. And I want to say he does speak. He does open eyes. He does show us those things. But sometimes we walk through things and we can creatively come to conclusions about what we have been through, just like you showed us. And I really appreciate that example. Now, if I interrupt you, you go back to your values, because they're really important. Go ahead and pick them up.
No, you didn't interrupt me. I actually printed out. This is a packet that I used with you, and this one happens to be dated 6/07. Because this is when I really started, you know, I mean, I kept refining and refining. And I think, y'all, I'm gonna tell on Dr. John a little bit. He, when I first met him, and he may still do this, do you still carry your index cards around in your pocket every day?
I do.
Tell him that story real quick. You have to tell him the story.
Well, now, are you talking about the affirmations that I make?
All of it. Tell them what's on your cards, because you started.
Well, you know, there's so many things. but, you know, again, like you were saying, there are present tense affirmations that I read through and make and visualize that they are a part of my life. So, I mean, I just pulled up the cards here. I exude youthful energy and enthusiasm. I am all for fun. I organize outstanding trips and events through which people learn and grow. I have my values on a card. I walk in faith. I do God's will. I love my family. I am a learner. I am a reconciler. I am a team player. I am energetic. I am a servant leader. I am a powerful communicator. And I have Bible verses to go with each one of those. And where I have them written out, I have explanations of what those things are. And so you know, some of them are, you know, that would only be meaningful to me, but then some of them sound outlandish. But these are my aspirations, and I am affirming my belief that God can take me there and make me a person consistent with these things that I am speaking. I have one: I am a student teacher. I have one: I am my own best student. I am a magnet for leadership ideas and concepts, and readily and easily pass them on to others. When people read what I write, they smile. I mean, it just goes on and on. If that is what you're referring to, because this is how I'm using the index cards in my life today. And one of them are my financial and my health aspirations, and I have those sitting right out. So every time I look over at those cards, I am making those statements and those affirmations about over my life and in my life, and it has made a huge difference.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, my friend. Exactly, because that is what I'm talking about. I learned from the best. He told me that, and that's what Jim and I have done. So wherever we are today, it's because of you, and you set the tone for us. And you call them affirmations. And I call them declarations and decrees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you declare, I just want to, the definition of declare is say something in a solemn and emphatic manner. And decree mm-hmm. is an official order issued by a legal authority. And that's what you are doing. You are declaring mm-hmm. and decreeing every day, affirming whatever you want to call it. And when you decide to do that, and that's what I say decide, declare, decree, decide is come to a resolution in the mind as a result of consideration. And you mm-hmm. showed us how to do that. You are wonderful at that. You absolutely show us how to do those every day. And that's what we do. I mean, we have declarations and confessions all over our house. We've got them on our computer. Mm-hmm. We give them to people every day because mm-hmm. the Bible says declare a thing, decree a thing, and it will come to pass. And it's like,
yes.
I know people think that I'm crazy, and this is kind of what we have this tropical storm coming up here right now, but we live in Arkansas, so tornadoes and crazy storms are mm-hmm. all over the place sometimes. And so I actually, with confidence and authority, I say, storm, you will not rotate. There will be no tornadoes mm-hmm. in Polk County, Arkansas, in the name of Jesus tonight. We will have no hail damage. Mm-hmm. We will have no power mm-hmm. outage. I mean, you have to speak those things, but you have to do it with authority. You can't say, oh, I'm praying to the Lord that those storms won't come near us. It's like, no, mm-hmm. they will mm-hmm. not, because we're talking to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you shared those, because that's exactly the model that we use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've got hundreds of them.
Take one of them though, John, if you don't mind. Take one and read the affirmation, then read the how you described it, and then read the scripture, if you don't mind, because that is so powerful. I think people need to hear that.
Sure. Go ahead. Give me a minute to pull it up. So, while I'm looking for it, do you have any other values that you wanted to read out?
I have. I'll do one real quick. So one of mine was, I walk in faith and obedience. I believe in and practice healing, signs, miracles, and wonders. I am an intimate friend with God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And then my description was, I trust in the Lord for all things in my life, financial, health, family, and vocation, realizing everything I have, God has given me. I have dedicated everything back to Him. I am a good steward of all that He has entrusted to me. And then my scripture for that is Romans 1:17, the righteous shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Here's I'm going to bring out my governing values. And this is a little older version, because for some reason the other one isn't coming up, but let me pick one out here. I'll pick I am a reconciler. So I wrote, and I've read this for years, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only answer to society's problems, and that includes racism. I offer myself to work with people of color in various cultures to model relationships that help reconcile people to God and then to one another. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, 18-20, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then I close that value out by saying, I mentor young men and women to equip them to be all they can be in God and affirm their beauty and worth in God's eyes. And, of course, that's in the context of reconciliation. And as you said, Sheila, I don't have to go looking for people. They come looking for me. Because
mm-hmm.
all I have to do is I have to make the affirmation and relax and visualize it happening. And it's basically you ask and give thanks. I'm
mm-hmm.
declaring
Absolutely.
It, and I'm thanking God that it happens. I am a learner, so I don't leave that to chance. So I because the world is changing so rapidly, I can't afford to crystallize in my work habits. That means I must continue to grow and learn in the knowledge of God. My primary focus is the Word of God, and my prayer is open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law. I read, study, take classes, attend seminars, learn from role models, and master new techniques and technology that enable me to learn until my strength fails or until I die. So take that.
Exclamation point, brother.
Yeah.
That is so you.
Well, but these are not accidents, you know. It's too often, and you're a spirit-filled person, so I appreciate you. You do not deny the power of the spirit or the importance of it, but you also see the role that we play in it. It is a partnership, and you are a living, breathing example of that. And as I told the people at the beginning, Madam Dynamic, and you have not disappointed. I don't want to bring up a touchy issue, but our condolences to the loss of your mother. When I had never met her, when I saw her picture, I said, that's Sheila. That's where she got it from. So talk to us a little bit about your mom and her role in your life.
Oh, my mom is dancing in heaven with Jesus. And she's so funny because my dad passed when I was 12, and who I thought was my dad, actually. And this is kind of a crazy story, but I found out when I was last year that he was not my dad, that I had a different dad. And anyway, my mom and I had a long visit about that. And so anyway, but my mom passed of just natural causes, the beginning of May. And it, you know, with the passing of anyone in your family and close, but you just know that they're better off. And honestly, I have such peace about it because she's better where she is now in heaven. So, and we talked a lot about, I'm just going to depart a little bit. We talked a lot about her purpose book in heaven. And I don't know if everyone knows and realizes this, but you all have a purpose book in heaven. We all do. Mm-hmm. And every morning when I wake up, I just say, yes, Lord, I come into agreement with what my purpose book is in heaven. And our angels can read those purpose books. So Mom and I talked about her purpose book, and she felt like she had fulfilled hers. And she was ready to go and meet the Lord. And so she did, and she had Jesus in her heart. So it's something that I just want to come from that story with to everyone listening, that you all have a purpose book in heaven. And in fact, it says, you know, when the courts were seated and the books were opened, and that's what it's talking about. It's talking about your purpose book in heaven. So ask God to see that and ask God to show that to you. And my mom and I actually talked about that before she passed. And I just want everyone to realize that, because sometimes people don't think that, you know, God chose me or God knows about me or God has a plan for me. And, you know, the other thing too, John, that I want to just mention is it isn't always for our sake. Sometimes it's for His name's sake. Sometimes God has us do things and gives us purposes because He needs it fulfilled in the earth. So when we don't feel worthy or that we're capable or whatever, you are, because He won't call you to anything that He won't help you through. He won't.
Boy, that's the truth. Yeah, indeed, indeed. And Sheila, how can people get in touch with you? How can they find out more about you?
Info at Dr. Sheila Hunt is drsheilahunt.com is my website. And yep, give me an email or go visit and give me a call. I think everything is on there. And Dr. John, can I just pray before we end? Is that something
Please.
I can do for over the people with their purpose?
Oh yeah, sure.
So, Father God, I just pray for you to open the eyes and the senses, Lord, of everyone listening today. Reveal and release their purpose to them so they will know their destiny. Let them experience your love and just know you and that you exist, and give them divine power to fulfill their purpose today. Put your fire in their bones and fill them with your Holy Spirit, and let them know that they are carriers of your glory, and that suicide and depression, stress, confusion, and all of this kind, we command you to leave people right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just release, John and I release destiny and purpose right now with clarity to see and
Amen.
Follow your path. And God, just show up in their dreams and visions and inventions and debt cancellation and just angelic visitations to just fully know you. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart, just repeat this. Father God, forgive me for what I've done wrong. Jesus, come into my heart, take my life, and make it all that you want it to be. And we just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Sheila, I was not disappointed. I set the bar high, and you jumped over it by about 7 inches. So I am grateful, and I am sorry it's been a while since we chatted. I'm not going to let that happen again. And who knows, maybe there's a book collaboration down the road for us. So,
Absolutely.
Yeah, so give my best to Jim and to all the saints in Russellville, and we'll stay in touch.
Amen. Sure will, brother. Thank you, Dr. John.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Dr. Sheila Hunt, she is, you get around her and you can see you can't stay neutral. She's going to move you in some direction, and I appreciate her so much. Tomorrow I'm going to have Dr. Rhonda Johnson back on the show, but we're going to turn the table. She's going to interview me. I want her to ask me questions. She can ask me anything she wants. There'll be no preparation time, and we'll see how it goes. And then I've got some other great shows lined up for the rest of the week. This is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. Until we're together again, you be about the work of purpose in your life. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.